You are listening to the Sideline Sass Podcast, episode 29, The Main Attraction, Baseball, Beauty, and Belonging with sports media personality Jessica Kleinschmidt. Today, I'll be catching you up on all of the stuff Sideline Sass has been up to and wrapping up some college football talk with my takeaways from the Senior Bowl and the Combine as we head into the NFL Draft. I will also be chatting with one of my favorite people, NBC Sports' very own Jessica Kleinschmidt, about life, love, and the perpetual pursuit of the baseball season. Maybe, if we're really lucky, she might just share the origin story of her love for Joey Votto. So let's get sassy. Hey everybody, Emily Van Buskirk here. Welcome to the Sideline Sass Podcast. If this is your first time listening, I'm super glad that you found us. The Sideline Sass Podcast is generally produced every 2 weeks just for you, and show notes can be found on our page at audioboom.com. Come back often and feel free to add us to your favorite RSS feed or on iTunes or Spotify. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Sideline Sass with three S's. Or if you're like my mom, go ahead and like our page on Facebook. And don't forget about our website, www.sidelinesasswiththreeS's.com, where all your audio, video, and written sass converge. While you're at it, go ahead and follow the sass on my individual page, at MLNEM, on Twitter and Instagram. Now, if you didn't write that down, don't worry. All those links can be found in our show notes at audioboom.com. So, I think it's time for episode 29. Let's go. All right, guys, we are here. Well, I can't say we, actually. It's just me back for this very first episode of the podcast. It's going to be a little bit different for the next few months. Let me just catch you guys up to speed. After the national championship game where we, you know, covered it with Joey Chestnut and had an incredible time, got to see an incredible game. I'm sure you all listened to the podcast and heard all the stories. If you haven't, make sure you go to our podcast on iTunes or on Spotify and listen to that last episode because we had a lot of great media people on, including Arash Markazi and a couple Clemson students who covered the season. They had really great insights into what was just an incredible college football championship. So definitely check that out. But since then, I have taken a position working with the Peoria Chiefs. Who is that, you might ask? Well, let me tell you, they are the single A affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. So they offered me a job working for them doing, you know, media communications, a little bit of community outreach, and most importantly, helping run their social media, which is something, if you follow me on social or follow the podcast, you'll know I'm very, very passionate about. So I could not say no to this opportunity. And if you also know me, I'm always up for an adventure, traveling all over. So I got the call right after the championship game. I went to the Senior Bowl, which I will talk about in a minute. And then I packed up my car in February and drove across country all the way to Illinois and landed here in Peoria. So I'm actually recording this part of the podcast in the press box at Peoria, looking out over the ballpark. And we have 26 more days till our season opener. So I'm very excited. It does mean, unfortunately, that Kaylee and I had to split up for the time being, because I'm going to be here in Peoria for about the next 7 months. We're still going to be putting out the podcast, but Kaylee's got a lot of stuff going on in her life, so she's going to step away for a couple months to do some things. So I'm going to pick up where we left off for the next 4 months, and then we'll rejoin in the summer to bring you, you know, some preview for college football, talk about the upcoming season. And until then, there's going to be a lot of baseball and anything else I can get myself into out here in the Midwest. So so that's kind of what's going on with Sideline Sass. So right before I came to Peoria, I went and covered the Senior Bowl, the Reese's Senior Bowl. It was kind of a surprise. I wasn't planning on doing it originally, but I had a couple friends that cover it and have said it's just an incredibly good time and good networking, and it's something to experience. So I decided to, you know, check it out. Never say no to to a new experience over here. So I went down to Mobile, Alabama, and it was honestly, it was an incredible time. You know, not only was the football great and the atmosphere relaxed, which is super important when you're covering sports. I mean, some of these games and practices and things, they're so high pressure structure, and it's hard to kind of get loose answers out of guys. But at the Senior Bowl, you know, I talked to several players, Gardner Minshew, a couple guys from USC. We got to talk to Will Greer. We got to talk to just kind of David Sill, but just a bunch of players that I've seen throughout the season. And they were so relaxed and easy to chat with. Not to mention, you know, we got to talk to John Gruden, and he was hilarious as always. But it was a good experience. I got to hang out with some great people in the football industry, both in the NFL and the college side. Made a lot of new friends, tried a lot of new food, and definitely understand why Veet's is going to be everybody's vice. It's, if you don't know Veet's, it's this bar that's right across the street from the media hotel where the players and coaches stay. And it's just like a typical dive bar, but everybody goes in there throughout the week. And it's just super fun hanging out and talking sports with all these guys. And I really have to say I met such a great group of guys. Like, I'm not going to shout them all out because it would take a while, but you guys know who you are. And they treated me so well as a newcomer, and as a female, they really looked out for me. So I have to say it was a good experience, and I would love to go back next year. The game itself was, like, most people don't stay for the game because you don't learn a whole lot, but it was still interesting to see and get to talk to a couple of the guys afterwards about their experience and such. So there's not a whole lot I can tell you about things that you haven't already read because this was a while ago. So moving forward, kind of talking about the combine, which I was hoping to cover, but because of my new job in Peoria, I did not get the chance. So, you know, we got to see, I just read a lot of storylines that came out of there. And it was interesting to watch people, you know, try and evaluate these guys, seeing what they're seeing. We saw a lot more of Deebo Samuel. I mean, that's a name that came up a lot in Mobile. And I was a fan of Noah Fant from Iowa, tight end. I think he performed really well, and I think he's going to be somebody that's going to surprise people on the draft boards. But I mean, at this point, you guys are so inundated with all the great writers out there covering this that I don't know if there's a lot that I can bring to this subject that hasn't already been said. It's also definitely weird doing this by myself without having Kaylee to, you know, counteract me and weigh in, which is why I'm going to keep this part short so we can jump right to the interview with my special guest, who I will name at the end of this. But I will say that I'm going to head to Nashville for the draft. So we'll definitely be doing interviews there and trying to bring you guys some interesting takes from there. I don't personally like to buy into where people are going to go and whatnot. And, you know, we're going to talk Kyler Murray with my guest, so I'm going to save that for the next segment. But I'm content to just sit back and watch the guys go where they go and then talk to them afterwards about, you know, the experience of going through this draft. I remember last year I was able to sit down and interview Nyheim Hines from NC State, and he had an incredible season with the Colts. And so it was really cool to write these draft stories. Unfortunately, I couldn't do any this year, but, you know, the story I did on him and Devron Davis from and a couple other guys. But the Nyheim Hines interview was awesome because not only did I talk to him, I talked to Bryce Love, who he grew up playing with. And I talked to his coach at NC State. And you get this kind of excitement, that this payoff that these guys are working towards their whole life. And you get to really hear that in the interview. So my favorite part of all this is just watching the hard work pay off and seeing them get drafted and then following their careers. So I'm going to sit back and let the chips fall where they may when it comes to NFL draft stuff. And besides, as much as I love football, you know, we're deep into college basketball right now. And actually, right across the street from my new apartment downtown Peoria is the gym where the Bradley Braves play. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but yesterday, Sunday, Bradley won their first conference championship, I think in like 30 years. And they'll be going to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2006, which, you know, one of my friends, Sean O'Connell on Twitter said, it's no coincidence that I moved in and then all of a sudden this is happening. I like to think that I'm a jinx as well as a good luck charm when the occasion calls. So I did cover one Bradley game when they played Valpo, and it was a tough game for Valparaiso, but you could see why this Bradley team is so special. Their first halves tend to be rough, and the first half of this, you know, their championship game was no exception. I mean, they scored 15 points, which was a conference championship game low all time. But they have this really magical way, and I don't know if it's head coach or what it is, of pulling themselves out and having these tremendous second halves where they come back and surprise teams. It almost looks like they're doing it on purpose, you know, like playing possum. But I don't know what's going to happen to them in the NCAA tournament. It's always hard to tell whether they can stack up, but they are an incredible team, and this town has really rallied around the college. And it's really fun seeing the team come home last night outside the stadium and cheering, and seeing a bunch of the interns that I work with here at the Chiefs are Bradley students. So, you know, one of them, shout out Cody, was there, and he actually took a video running on the court. And so it's kind of cool to get to experience this, even though I just moved here. I'm really enjoying that part of it. So, and you know, I love any excuse to watch college basketball. I've also become a bit of a Notre Dame women's fan because one of the girls I work with, Kate Voss, is a big fan, so I've been watching games with her. And then, of course, Stanford women, you know, winning the Pac-12 in a solid game against Oregon. That was one of my favorite things. I'm really getting into the women's basketball now. I'm digging it. The good teams are really fun to watch, so I'll definitely keep an eye on the women's tournament and as well as the men's when we get to Selection Sunday. So it's going to be weird not going to Las Vegas for the men's tournament. I don't think I went last year either because we were doing spring training, covering the Giants and the Padres and whatnot, but it's definitely weird not going there and spending a week in Las Vegas watching basketball. But I will definitely be keeping up with it here, and I will not be complaining about the late start times because it gives me something to do at night. So I actually like it. And then speaking of spring training, you know, we're getting ready here at the ballpark for the arrival of our team at the end of the month. And I've been watching a lot of Cardinals games, trying to bone up on my Cardinals players and stats and info like that, but also keeping an eye on the Bay Area and watching my Giants and the A's. So it's also weird not being at spring training like last year, but everyone that I know has been killing it there. Carmen Q had some great stuff with the Relish. I really enjoyed watching her interviews. And of course, Jessica Kleinschmidt, my guest, she did some great things and had some great stories come out of there. And she is actually going to come on now to tell us some of her spring training stories. And you know what? I think we're finally going to get to the bottom of this Joey Votto thing. I've had so many people, but once they find out Jess and I are close friends, they ask me what the deal is with her love for Joey Votto. I can confidently tell you it does not stem from her dating him or anything like that. But her answer is going to be interesting. I'm excited to hear the origin story of that, you know, of that love for Joey Votto. So I think that's pretty much all the housekeeping stuff, and I think we should just jump right into this interview. Let me just dial up Jessica Kleinschmidt real quick and get her on, and we'll talk some baseball and we'll talk some life, because she's going to be giving some love advice, some life advice, some career advice. So you're definitely going to want to check in on this next segment. Let's do it. All right, guys, we are back with this first episode I guess it's not the first one of the new year, but it might as well be because my guest is that important. NBC Sports' Jessica Kleinschmidt, content reporter, personality, media analyst of sports and baseball. That is my official title for her. Welcome, Jessica, to the Sideline Sass podcast.
I love that. I love my little intro. That's amazing.
I mean, you know, I like to come up with something different for everyone, but you do so many things. And you...
I do. Because when people ask me what I do for a living, I'm like, I have to take a deep breath. And kind of like, there we go.
It's too bad that won't all fit on a business card, although.
I know. I know.
Use really tiny font, maybe.
Right. Maybe we'll see.
How is it going in the Bay Area?
It's good. The Bay Area misses you. But I'm waiting for the weather to finally warm up. I felt like, so I went to Arizona for spring training, and it was freezing. It was raining. And it felt like it was raining when I left the Bay Area, raining in Arizona, raining when I came back. It just hasn't stopped. But beyond that, it's been good. You know, living that Bart life. Commuting from the East Bay every day into the city.
You know what? I used to do that. Once upon a time, I worked at 95.7, and I used to commute. You're out in East Bay. I was in Dublin. I don't know. Yes. I don't want to tell people where you live. So
Thank you for doing that.
I stopped myself.
Smart.
Just direct your fan mail to the East Bay.
Yeah, because the thing is like, it's all funny until you're the one that's having to protect me.
Right. So, yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to have to, yeah. So I got you. But I lived in Dublin. I used to take BART from there all the way to the city. And that's like a good 45 to 50 minutes. So I feel you, but the grass is greener. So I miss it. Cause like right now in Peoria, which is nice, I have, there's no public transportation like that. So
I mean, you get to walk to work and you're like right across the street from.
Well, I thought I would, you know, and I know I put it on, I know I put it on Instagram that I was flexing for the gram that I would be doing that every day, but I have to report that I have driven the last 2 weeks, 2 minutes to my work.
Okay. All right. Well, now they're all gonna see we're all fake on Instagram, dude. We are all fake.
We are. Like when I walk outside in the snow, it's freezing, but the Instagram looks beautiful because, you know, if you put that effort in, then no one knows how hard you're working.
You too can make your life look great.
Exactly.
But then really you're on the other end crying in the fetal position.
Oh yeah, my feet, like, I think one of my toes almost, like, it went numb for a long time. And yeah. I'm just learning, like, you can't wear, you know, normal boots or, like, you know those over-the-knee boots that you love? Like, you can't wear that here. You would die.
I would like to report that J-Lo and A-Rod have announced their engagement, and their ring is the size of my freaking forehead.
This just in, breaking on the podcast, J-Lo and A-Rod are engaged. How many carrots?
Oh, probably a whole bushel.
A bushel? I think only apples come in a bushel.
Well, I just started a new trend.
Get your woman a bushel engagement ring. I really thought I just got an ESPN notification about that. I think I might have.
Oh, you might have.
Okay, anyways, see, this is the tangent that I go on, you know.
This is the tangents that we were talking about. Yeah,
we did. So, okay, you came from Reno, and now you're here in the Bay Area. You know, how has it been? How has the transition been? What's it like working for NBC Sports?
The transition's been actually relatively easy. I've lived in the Bay Area before, and I kind of hated it. So when I moved back to Reno, I hated Reno even more, mainly because dating sucked, obviously. I knew I wanted to do something bigger with my life, and you can't do anything in professional sports in Reno. Because when you tell people that you wrote for MLB, which I did, I wrote for MLB, but I worked from my home base in Reno. They're like, "Oh, you work for the AAA Aces," and I was like, "No, I actually work for MLB." And they tried to correct me. No, you work for the Aces. I was like, "I promise you, homeboy, I don't." Of course, I was a homeboy because, you know, the mansplaining.
Yes.
So that's where I'm at. But yeah, honestly, the transition, I was just thinking about that the other day. Like, a friend of mine was visiting and he just said, "Wow, like, you're like this big city girl and it looks like you never were in a smaller town." Reno is very much a small town. Right. I lived in the smaller community of the smaller town. And growing up, I was like, I just felt so out of place there because my friends were weird and they didn't, you know, all my good friends ended up moving out of that town, except for Courtney. She's still there, but she loves it. She likes the feel of it. And I totally get that, but I just couldn't do it, but I'm loving it. I have an amazing house. I have an amazing roommate. As you know, my social life is amazing. Even with you gone, it's still pretty good. And you know, it's fun. I feel like there's so much to do out here. Mm-hmm. I'm never bored.
I mean, that's true. I did drag you to your first Stanford football game earlier
You did. I'm still cold from that. But because you guys, so if you go out with Emily, you can't dress like her because she's naturally warm. So I'm thinking like, oh, this is our first like hangout. I'm gonna be cool. I'm gonna wear flip flops in 20 degree weather.
Did you really you wore flip flops?
Because you wore flip flops. I was like, oh, okay, like yes, it's gonna be, well, I don't know, Bay Area weather. I was planning on moving here and it being 75 all the time. And I was told it was a weird winter right now, so yeah. It's okay. But at the same time, yeah. So I was freezing, but yeah, Emily really helped me get out there, and now I'm a machine. Now I don't like to stay in sometimes.
Right, because there's so many things to do, and
there's so much.
And you got to meet Joey Chestnut. That was the first. Yeah. It's never really a dull moment.
Changed my life.
It did. The sandwich and the hot dog and all that.
Yes,
I don't know. Well, I'm glad that I could be kind of the opening to that. And now you're doing so great on your own. And they just sent you to spring training. So you were just in Arizona.
I was. And it was fantastic for a multitude of reasons. It was good to kind of get back in there with baseball and to not do the A's so much, to actually do the Giants, which mm-hmm. I've actually covered the Giants more in the last two seasons than I have ever with the A's. And growing up an A's fan, I wrote my first sports blog on the A's. So that was kind of interesting to kind of branch out. You know, I covered every team last year, so it was kind of an easy process. But yeah, I learned a lot, met like a lot of people that I grew up, you know, working with, but never actually meeting in person. And the dating life down there, I went on one date with that really hot guy.
This girl goes to Arizona for less than a week and goes on a date. I've been in Peoria for 3 weeks, and now you've seen the screenshots of the profiles here, so... You know, it's not exactly a hotbed, but I have been on zero dates, so...
Yeah, well, and you know, the date I went on was, like, life-changing.
Yeah.
He won't text me, but you know what? It was the greatest date.
It changed your life, but it's fine.
It was a fun date, yeah.
I remember you telling me it was very... And, like, you get all these creative... Wherever you go, it's like these guys come up with these really, like, creative, but fundamentally, like, perfect for you...
Yeah.
Dates, yeah. And it's like
it's really weird because like before I go out with these guys, they're like oh, I think I know you. I'm like, okay. And the next thing you know, I'm like, how did you know, like, this is the type of wine I wanted and this was the appetizers I would order and to have the game on, like, how did you know?
And a good fire pit. You love a good fire pit.
Oh yes, I love a good fire pit. And we went to two fire pits on that
spot. Oh gosh, that guy was killing it.
He was in more ways than one.
I really hope our listeners are taking notes in case they ever get matched with you.
No, I'm great with dating advice. I'm mm-hmm. so good. I've been doing it for so long. So it's like I got you.
You do get, and we're going to get into some of those like do's and don'ts later. But as for covering the Giants, obviously, like, I worked for the Giants and I've been around them my whole life, mm-hmm. and it's such, you know, it's a great organization. I think obviously they're going through some stuff. It's been a weird off season. They're going through some stuff recently. So, I mean, with that in light, despite that, you know, we will leave that for what it is. What was it like covering them? You know, who's your favorite interview, for example, and your favorite moment, maybe?
This is going to sound kind of silly, but my favorite interview was actually with Kieran Lovegrove, and that wasn't because I've been following his career, and I haven't told him since he was a little baby.
Yeah.
Like, he was just a little baby when I started following his career, and he's a huge Cut 4 fan. He loves the Cespedes Barbecue Boys, so naturally I was always intrigued by him. But the thing I loved about him was he's just so different, and he's part of the younger generation that's really, like, open on social media and wanting to embrace social media, which I wish more of the players would do. But, like, they're also from a different generation where you don't need to be so standy out on social media. You just play well and go home.
It's right.
Like that. But he was super sweet, and we talked about these Black History Month cleats that he or shoes that he had. That was a really cool interview. And I, like, walked right past Johnny Cueto to go interview this, quote, I'm going to say he's a prospect, but a minor leaguer who I've been, you know, talking to for 5 years and finally got to meet him in person. So that was really cool. And really just to see how the players are looking. Like, Johnny Cueto lost a bunch of weight. Evan Longoria looked like he was in really good shape, too. And then Tyler Beatty, I've been following him for a couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. He came up because I was really into the prospects. Like, obviously, growing up in Reno, I was around AAA, so I was always watching my little babies.
Yeah.
And Tyler Beatty popped up, and the guy from MLB Pipeline, Jonathan Mayo, dear friend of mine, we talked about him, and you could tell Tyler has obviously definitely matured since last season. He was humble. He had a 7 ERA, 7+ Oh, wow. ERA. And that was kind of something that definitely brought him back down to earth. I certainly can't speak for him, but I can promise you from some of the videos I've seen of him over the last couple of seasons and then seeing him in person, he definitely needed the offseason to kind of focus and get his confidence together. So I'm actually going to work on something where I can talk to him. Like, I know, I'm sure physically he'd worked on something. He got off social media, but I really want to know what he's been working on with his soul, like to figure out like what's underneath the heartbeat underneath that uniform. I want to know what he's changed, because I feel like that's so important for young kids to yeah. know, girls and boys, of course, as athletes, because you get so caught up in the extras, the social media, the likes, the yeah. dislikes. Oh, how do I look to the public? Who gives a shit what you look like to the public? Just go out there and play hard. And I think he needed that touch of reality. So I'm really curious to see what he says when I go talk to him.
That's a really good point. And, yeah. and it's interesting with all these young guys, because now it's weird to see, you know, as growing up like a fan, okay, you go to games, you get to watch guys that are like your heroes, and now we're here covering them and working right. with them. And, you know, they're young guy. I mean, one of these kids that just got drafted out of Marin, he's with the Cubs now. He's a pitcher, and he's literally like a little brother. But you go see his Instagram, and it's like he's living this grown-up life, but he's not a grown-up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's such a good point. Like, I never thought about that they're kids, but they have to grow up a lot quicker. Like, they just,
right.
they need to, because they're being paid to do something. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I wish someone would pay yeah. me to stay off Instagram, because
oh my gosh,
it would probably well, be better.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like, I isn't it weird how you read those memes where you go from like being obsessed with them to muting them like in a second, whether that's like a guy you're dating or a girl you're dating, or somebody that just drives you nuts,
yeah.
or a friend or anything like that. It's just so weird.
I've never muted anything, ever.
Yeah.
I've blocked very few people I have blocked, though. But
I mute everyone. I would mute myself if I could.
But so if you could only mute one Twitter person or Instagram.
Don't even go there, Emily. You're going to get me in trouble.
No,
It's probably like my mom or something.
See,
I love my mom, but I would mute her. She's crazy on social
media.
She's not on Twitter, but like I sometimes want to unfriend her. I love her and she knows it. And she knows how I get treated on social media, and she's that exact way with people. It's
right.
the weirdest thing.
That's yeah. probably how it's hard for her to see, you know.
Right.
I got
right.
you. I blocked yeah. my mom on Twitter for a while, so I unblocked her. She's fine now, but she didn't understand quite like
we're cool now.
Yeah, we're okay for now. We'll see. Like, you know, she's a big Sharks fan, so she gets on Sharks Twitter and just starts tweeting at people. And she's knowledgeable, so it's like I can't get mad at her for that, but it's like right. I know what it's like to be on the end that she's tweeting at, and I feel bad for all yeah. of the Sharks writers. Sorry, Kevin Kurz. Sorry, everybody.
Are we sorry though?
I guess not really. That's fair. That's very fair. All right. Well, okay. So I got to ask you, now that I'm working with the Peoria Chiefs,
uh-huh.
which is obviously a Cardinals affiliate, not a Cubs, which a lot of people thought because they were the Cubs, whatever, even though we're smack dab in the middle of Cubs country.
Well, that's how affiliates work. I don't even know how the PCL teams are right now. So I get it.
Yeah. It's weird. But now we're Cardinals, and Did you get to see any storylines from other, you know, spring trainings, like anything in Florida, or were you just so focused on the Arizona teams?
I mean, I've never been one to just focus on one team, and
yeah.
that's probably, you know, something that MLB taught me. And I wish people would understand, like, even if you're a huge whatever fan, a lot of baseball beat writers are Mets fans, you know, they're Cardinals beat writer. What are you going to do? But there wasn't a lot, only because free agency was such a dull roar
right.
that there was moves made, like Paul Goldschmidt, for instance,
right.
to the Cardinals. But it was mainly about, okay, we know that Bryce is going to go to the Giants.
Right.
And I felt it in my gut that he was going to get signed the day that he got signed, but I didn't think it was going to be with the Giants until last minute. And so when I was there, I was thinking like it would be Bryce watch, but it wasn't while I was there. We were concentrating on so many other things. But
right.
so for the Giants was the stuff that I pretty much named already.
Right.
And we're waiting to see if Cueto's going to be healthy. I didn't get a chance to see Samardzija, and I'm really curious to see how he's going to do.
Yeah.
And then with the A's, it was mainly about just how the guys are working on an interesting season. It's always an interesting season with the A's. They don't have Jed Lowrie anymore, but he's injured. So I don't really know how much. That was like one of the first things that was spoken about. We finished a presser with Bob Melvin, and there was whispers around saying like, wow, Jed already has an MRI. And everybody's kind of like talking about it like in front of some of the A's players and the coach and it was, or the manager. So it was interesting in that dynamic. But it was mainly about hoping that the leaves would fall, if you will. But we're also waiting for more Giants to have these outfield moves. And is Dallas Keuchel going to go back to the Astros? So I really think he's going to end up back with the Astros. The Reds, how is Yasiel Puig going to deal with this team? He's only going to be there for one season, so that's going to be interesting. And then we're going to see, because the moves that were in like Seattle, like that's kind of a quote joke of a team. So there are so many storylines at spring training, but there also wasn't enough moves made to kind of be like, okay, well, what next? Because Manny Machado got signed, and we're kind of like, all right, cool, that's an NL West. Now what? And now we have to keep looking at the next season because Mike Trout's going to be a free agent soon. Paul Goldschmidt only got signed for a year. Yeah. So he's going to be a free agent soon. So these storylines are just going to thicken because we thought the Bryson Machado thing was over. Trout, hello, that's going to be huge. The Angels, of course, are going to be the main team to go after him. But after the Bryce Harper signing, like he's going to be asking for $100 trillion. And the thing is somebody's going to give it to him. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting, too, to kind of look at how baseball's changing and the rule changes. Emily, oh, my gosh, they're trying to implement. Like, dude, baseball's going to be a different sport, and that trips me out, too. So there's a couple.
I know, that's weird because baseball's always, like, the slowest, oldest, like, in my opinion, of all the sports I've covered, the most archaic, but in a good way, like, well, some good, some bad, you know, women in the press boxes, it's a lot weirder of a concept in baseball than it is, like, in some of the other sports I've covered, but it's weird to see it making all these moves, right? Like, that's got to be strange.
Well, it feels like a smack in my face. It feels like it's, oh.
It's personal.
No, it's very personal. It's like, here's the sport that you grew up loving. We're going to screw it all up. And, you know, that's what it feels like, especially because, like, growing up, you watched a sport, so you think you can confidently cover it. But if they're changing stuff, I'm going to be like, wait, I don't understand this job, this thing anymore. We're going to have robot umpires. We're going to extend.
Dude, the robo ump is cool, though. Do you not like the robo ump?
No, I think it's stupid. I feel like you need that kind of drama of a really crappy umpire every now and then. I really do. As weird as that sounds, like, I just feel like things are going to happen. It's like you can't have, like, an automatic, you know, certain things because weird things happen. You can't control it. You know, when you see, like, these sex dolls, like, some of them, like, turn it on you and like can plot your murders.
I mean, you know it's gonna go active like Skynet. We're gonna.
Do you know what I mean? Though, like, you don't know what these are gonna do.
I mean, so, no, we don't ever know. But I guess that point is valid because then we wouldn't have videos like the Brennan Metzberger trash can video from last year with the trash umpire. So I mean, that's a fair point. And now that I work in minor league baseball, we need those now more than ever. So.
Yeah, because exactly. If you don't like baseball, I want you to join me, and I'm hoping there's a bench clearing brawl. I'm hoping Yasiel Puig makes out with his bat. I'm hoping he. I'm hoping
for the weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for the weird, and a bat flip happens, and people get pissed off. That's the stuff that the casual fan needs to see because the casual fan is being told, "Oh, this is super. This is so boring," and we need to show them that it's not.
Well, then you'll appreciate this. One of the promotions that we're doing this year in Peoria is a swipe right night. Okay.
Oh, Jesus Christ! I've covered one of those.
Okay. Before. Well, but okay.
Yeah.
So yes, it's. I guess they've done it before. It's not like it's unique in that regard. But I'm working on getting Colton Underwood out here because he's from out here. So we're working on getting him to the park that night, and then.
Becca went to a Twins game last year.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. She helped, God, who was it? Was it Edward Rosario? She tried to get him, I think to like be the All Stars and like Rose mm-hmm. Rosario. So it was like this whole thing. She got the first pitch, and I was off of work that day, and I was like, let me just write this up because when The Bachelorette, I loved her.
Oh, I think she, I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She won, and the guy that she chose was from Reno.
Oh, that's crazy.
She officially took the last decent guy out of Reno, so I had to move.
Yeah. Sadly. That was it. So, that was a wrap.
It was cool. I really liked it.
Yeah, that is interesting. And there's stuff like that I don't even know about. So I'm excited to be more in the vein of what's going on and kind of
right.
having to pay attention to it all. It's definitely been different doing it from this side as opposed to being on the media side. And it's weird, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you'll like it.
And then you got to meet Sideline Sass OG, Vince Catronio. He was on our very first episode of the podcast. And
I met him briefly.
Yeah, he's been a big supporter, and we're always grateful for – I'm still waiting on my spring training hat, but, you know, he'll get there. I'm not worried.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to talk about was this Kyler Murray stuff. I know you've written so much about it, and you're probably just, like, sick of it, but –
I'm glad he made a decision. It was kind of like waiting around for Bryce, you know? Like, yes. Freaking, yeah.
And it's weird because, honestly, when I was at the Heisman and we were interviewing him and stuff and talking to him, you really got the sense that he was going to stick with baseball. Like, I didn't get, right. you know, and people kept asking me, oh, what did it seem like? I'm like, dude, he's a kid that likes both. Like, yeah. You could just see him sitting there like he wants to play both, but I really didn't get the sense that he was going to go football or baseball. He was very, like, withholding, you know?
Yeah, and I totally understood that. I think he was kind of waiting for an opportunity, and I'm sure he had people behind the scenes saying, like, is there any way? He's like, is there any way I can play both? And
yeah.
I wish I would have done more research, but this is going to sound silly, but I grew up playing baseball, but I was a quarterback in Powder Puff, and I can just, from my experience, throwing a football is a totally different arm motion. And he was an outfielder. It wasn't like he was, you know, just going to be a DH.
Right.
Like, you know, that was kind of that. And he really wanted to. And I totally respect in that aspect, because if he wanted the opportunity to play both, he would have. But there was no way in hell he'd be able to do both. Mainly just from he would kill himself just, like, playing 24/7.
Right.
He'd be doubling his exposure to injuries, and right. he wouldn't be able to throw just alone. And then there's a lot of players who, if they're not pitchers, they just don't even golf because it screws up their baseball
yeah.
swing.
Yeah.
So and, that yeah. alone, you know.
I agree. He's not exactly the big – I mean, there's been a lot of stuff coming out after the combine, some crazy comments being made by – analysts and different people who want to evaluate him. And he's not the biggest kid, and he's not, you know, the strongest looking, sturdiest guy, but he is what he is, you know, and he's going to bring what he brings to the table. And I think, you know, he's going to be fine. He's very smart. Like, when I talked to him, he would pick up on everything everyone was saying, the subtext of every question. Uh-huh. And he could tell right away, like, if he didn't like what you were saying, and he wouldn't really deal with you. You know, like, some guy called him Tua by accident, and he did not forget that all weekend, which
really?
Was hilarious. Yeah, you could just see him, like, remember this guy that did that, and then he'd kind of joke about it, but, like, he's like, a little bit scary intense. Like,
Yeah, I think at that point he was just sick of the media. That's
sure.
the worst part. I hate being a part of the media sometimes.
I know.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, and he's been keeping it, like, low-key on social, which has people clamoring for more. Because he's not out there. Like, and it, I don't know, he's doing it right. Whatever he's doing, he's doing it right. He's a smart kid. So I need to take advice. Like, I need to use his career now and how he's mapped and moved through this as a dating, like, blueprint. Because,
like, when somebody starts saying something to mm-hmm. you, you're like, nah.
And yeah.
If he calls you Tua, I would be pretty pissed too. I'm like, excuse me? No.
No, I don't play for Alabama. No, I mean, like, the way he just is so coy, like, I wish I could be more coy, you know, because I feel like that would go a lot further than me just, like, texting someone 37 times or, like, calling them.
Yeah, I think that's, oh, gosh. How many times have I gone psycho on you, like, mom, to, like, pry the phone from your hands?
Yeah, well, sometimes I tell people that I want to do a certain thing, and then I don't actually want to do that thing.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's why I feel like I'm going to start a Kyler Murray, you know, blueprint for my life. Yeah. No, yeah. like a map. Like, what okay. would Kyler Murray do, you know?
I guess. And yeah, then, what would Kyler Murray do?
Right.
Yeah.
And then don't do the things that he wouldn't do, like play yeah. baseball. So.
Yeah.
That's my plan. Hopefully we'll check back in a couple months and see how it's working out.
Yeah, like we'll do like the .. 2 months later.
She's in the same place she was. Kyler Murray's making millions, billions of dollars.
Yeah.
It's like, where did I go wrong, Kyler? Come on.
So funny.
It is. It's good times. All right. So what is something that you're looking forward to most this baseball season? And you can't say like food or drinks.
Can it be personal?
Yes.
Well, okay. Personally, I want to do more content. I want to see what, like, really push the envelope on what I think I'm able to do, whether it's more TV stuff, you know, on camera stuff, interviews, my confidence level. Mm-hmm. I want to do something different, and I want to be different. I want to be recognized for being something different. A lot of times on Twitter, there's people that'll say, well, why haven't you broken news? I'm not a breaking news reporter. I am not. I never intended to be. If it happens, that's a coincidence. I just happen to be asking questions to write a story. And if Hunter Pence wants to say he's going to go play for the Rangers, I'm going to write that in my article. That's fine. That right. was totally an example and whatever. But I just want to be known for something different. I want other people to know there's a different type of fun journalism content that you can do. So that's my personal stuff.
Okay.
On the flip side, for actual baseball stuff, I really want to see a new team do it. I don't think I just, you know, I get it. I'm raised an Ace fan. We never had the team never had the means
right.
To kind of take it all the way. I'm really worried about the team this season. I'm really worried about the Giants also. I'm hoping there's something fun that comes out between those two teams, obviously just from like a personal content baseball side. But I'm obviously very curious to see how Bryce Harper performs with the Phillies. And because I think he has a really good chance to save baseball. He's the biggest superstar right now. He has so much power in front of him to introduce new fans to the sport. So I'm hoping he doesn't take that for granted. That's one thing that I'm hoping for. And I hope, you know, more fans are introduced to the sport, whether it's because of Bryce Harper or not. I want people to be more open about being curious and not just about stupid stuff like, oh, baseball players did steroids. Like, ask more questions, be more curious of a fan. And if you want us to cover something, like, be like, you know, I've always wanted to know why this fan sits in this bleacher every day or this seat every day. Like, I want to come out and talk to you guys. I want to know why you show up to a game where the team is 0-162. Like, what makes you still come out year after year? That's the stuff that I want to know. And so I want to kind of branch out from just beyond, like, the game itself, which is fine.
Like, but the human interest stuff and, like, what?
I feel you. I want to know more about the players from their playing perspective. Like, do they go home to their wives? Do they go home alone? Like, do they do something different from the norm of an athlete? That's what I want to know. I'm so curious about so many things, and I'm hoping I could answer some of those curiosities.
I definitely think that you will be, and I can't wait to read them from here. So,
yeah.
And see them in video form.
Ooh,
that's
okay.
That's my hope. Yeah. For the future. But I do feel you on the human interest stuff. We had Robert Stock. He's a Padres pitcher. He's just a phenomenal human being. And he's kind of one of those quirky, weird stories where he bounced around 10 years in minors and indie ball and got back to the majors via a YouTube video that his girlfriend shot. I mean, it's so unreal, his story. And like, and he's such a huge nerd, self-proclaimed. And he has a podcast now, and I'm going to plug his podcast because it's awesome. And it's called
his brother, right?
Yeah, it's called Try Harder.
Yeah.
The Try Harder podcast. And it's so funny. And they just talk about, like, they talk about his pitching, and because he obviously touches 100 and he's got an arm. But he's just like, you would never think this dude was a baseball player if you saw him.
Right.
You know, so.
I get that. And I like those people.
Yeah.
I like the guys who are like, I'm a baseball player, but that doesn't define me.
Right. No, he's playing like World of Warcraft and like, you know, doing all this. He's this really smart kid, but
Which Sarah gets really annoyed.
She does. But you know what? She adopts it and she plays with him, like, which I think a lot of fiancés or girlfriends would just kind of do their own thing. But I really admire how she kind of just digs into his stuff and vice versa. Yeah. You know, he supports her. They're cute. They're goals, in my opinion. So
they are.
I'm going to definitely have them back on. I'm going to actually go. Padres are playing the Cardinals opening weekend down here, and I'm going to go down to St. Louis and check it out.
There you go.
Check it out. All right. So my question now is, how do you – okay, I've gotten ready with you before we go out. And right. I usually don't worry about it because I'm too busy, like, worrying about me. But I've seen the behind the scenes of Jessica's hair. Mm-hmm. And like, but you know what? Every time I come over, it's already in peak form. So I don't know what happens before that.
So you know, it's weird. I don't know. I think I look way more high maintenance than I actually am. And I think you can kind of back that up. Like, I get my eyelashes done, but my hair, I've kind of grown to make sure it gets done in like 20 minutes because I hate getting ready for more than 25, 30 minutes. I can't stand it. Unless like it's a whole thing where I take a shower in the morning and like I take hour breaks and, you know, I take a shower in the morning after the gym.
Right.
And I'll watch Real Housewives for 2 hours. Maybe I'll blow dry my hair for 5 minutes and then I sit back down, do whatever. So I've made it an art, but I just curl it after I blow dry it. And I've been just blessed with really, really good hair. And it just makes it kind of easier. It doesn't lose a curl. I'm very hashtag blessed. Dude, it's the one thing I'm ridiculously cocky about. And I'm pretty confident in myself. And that's the one thing that like, you cannot go up against me with.
That reminds me of, there's a scene in Parks and Recreation where there's like she's like this lifestyle guru and she comes on and the woman asks her like, how's your hair like that? And she goes, yeah, thank you. It's genetic and unattainable. And I'm just like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's you. So basically like you can't give any like tips or like, this is what you couldn't do a hair tutorial because this is just what it is.
I can do hair, and it's really about how you curl it too, like the part, like the amount of the type of barrel that you use, where you stop on your hair, and then you just have to use the right products. A lot of times people are scared to use the products before they put their curly iron in. You just have to remind yourself of the right stuff to put in there, and I'm very pro tousled look. See, so the tousled spray, let that dry for a little bit. And then brush that out and then curl it a certain way. And you just have, and like, don't wash your hair every day. I'm a very pro blow, you know, unless obviously you're going to be on camera and stuff, you have to be careful with that. But you know, use the dry spray as much as possible. But you know, there's always tips and stuff. And
have you ever not looked like, have you ever had a bad on camera day?
God, no.
No, no. So you have no like story. Like,
I don't think so. Damn. Like, when I had my own show, I got to control that.
That's always true.
Within a controlled environment. But I don't think I have, like, unless it was like one of my girlfriends like catching me like while I was, you know, being really inappropriate or doing something stupid or saying, I'm from Reno, bitch, with a cotton or a toilet paper gun or something like that. But professionally, I'm going to knock on wood right now. I've been very, very lucky.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Hashtag blessed so again. Far. Just
yeah.
Blessed all over the place.
Maybe I'll do it this season. Who knows?
I mean, the thing about when you have like things like that happen, that things that aren't super major, is they make you more lovable. I think sometimes if you're too, you know, perfect all the time, you're scary.
Right.
You know, I think that's why maybe some people are scared of you, is because
because
you know, you don't mess up very often and you know your shit. And see, I'm like the bumbling idiot on our podcast where like I kind of just, you know, I'll mess up a lot. I think people root for me because I'm like the underdog. They're like, oh, she's going to get it this time. It's fine.
Like, are you the queen of bless her heart?
Yeah.
Bless her heart.
If you can't win with perfection, then you win with pity, and I'll take it.
That's gorgeous.
Thank you.
No, but I can attest that I think people are very scared of me.
And Jessica is not scary, just so everyone knows.
I'm really not. I just look scary. And unless you screw me over, then you should be scared.
Yes. Okay, so then what is your best advice for dealing with kind of an unruly, and we're not going to name names, but unruly, let's just say female, an unruly female on the internet, and how do you go about navigating that, having dealt with that not that long ago?
Okay, so unfortunately, for the people that follow me on Twitter, they know part of my niche is like being kind of an asshole back to people.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
This one particular incident, I couldn't respond. She had me in tears and I didn't want to feel bad about that. I felt like she personally attacked me. Mm-hmm. And this has happened numerous times where sometimes like what they see on the internet just makes you upset. And to the point where it took me a while at the very beginning to be like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't be upset about that. But once people kind of read what she wrote and, numerous things that she said to me, and they were like, why aren't you crying right now?
Right.
And then eventually it sunk in. And so if you don't always have to be the tough person. And if it gets bad enough, go to your employer. I was very lucky where the people that I was working for at the time, well, NBC Sports, they were absolutely phenomenal about that. And that made it so much easier to where I had some wine that night, and the next morning I was back at work. And it
there
was,
you go.
They were even like, if you wanted to take a day off, we were totally supportive of it. But it was, you really need to remind yourself, like, if you're upset about it. And Julie DeCaro is the first person to tell me, she's like, sometimes it makes you upset. These strangers make you upset.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But don't take too much shit, because that's not healthy. But remember, we're all humans here.
That's true. I think people, it's hard because you specifically and a lot of people do live their life very openly online, and you know, you put it out there and it's there. And so that can hurt worse when somebody says something that's, and they keep saying it, you know, it's like one thing if they say it once, but to keep repeating just hurtful things is, you know, that's tough.
The
thing
that I don't like is how, now that I'm getting more, like my work's getting more public.
Right.
I don't want my friends and family kind of affected by it. Like,
right.
I know that, you know, like with our little sports circle, our girls can kind of handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't want my niece and nephew to be involved. Like, my biggest fear is somebody's going to walk up to them and be like, oh, you're Jess's nephew. And that's going to freak me out.
Right.
Or, you know, they would walk up to my best friend, Courtney, and be like, how's Jess? People that she doesn't know, that's not fair to her.
Right.
And she's kind of used to that. She's used to the fake people being like, oh, I'm such good friends with Jess. And Courtney's sitting there like, I literally have no idea who you are. Like, these people, they want to be part of success, but they don't know what the hard work is. And that's going to show in the near future where, okay, you can tell how this person got their job and how this person's not going to last. And, and so there's just so many lessons I've learned just in the last probably 4 years of this industry, just this industry.
Yeah.
And that's not even the fact that we're like, that's not even my dating life. It's not my personal relationships, my family, you know, just growing up and stuff. Like, it's all this industry is just so many things that you learn, and it's such a unique industry, and it's a devastatingly challenging industry.
Yes.
But also it rewards you too.
It does. I actually, like, I was sitting there last night, I was thinking about International Women's Day, which is such a, all the women's holidays and all the women's like celebration is so awesome that we get to all band together and that stuff. But I was thinking about all of the shit just that we've all been through, whether it's from an SID or
just to exist.
Yeah. I mean, like, literally exactly. Just to get up. Yeah. Just to get up every day and know that you have to deal with certain things, whether it's messages or, you know, having to deal with someone that you have to be in proximity to that.
Yeah.
You know, all of it, but surviving and moving through that and succeeding despite it, you know, that's really what it fires me up. Seeing you get where you are and seeing, you know, Allie get where she is and Carmen and all of our friends.
Yeah.
That's what just gets me so pumped. And I love it. So it's funny because so, girls are so competitive, but not the people
well,
that...
girls have treated me worse than men in this industry.
I know, and that's... it's crazy. I've never had that because experience.
They're more sneaky about it. Guys at least are like, you're fat, you're ugly. I'm like, okay. Girls are like, you're so pretty. And then they'll tell you you're fat and ugly to everybody else.
Right. It's awful. I don't get why we don't just revel in each other's successes because ultimately, like, if you're working hard, you're going to get there. You know what yeah. I mean? And you calling someone else out behind their back is not going to make you get there any faster. Right. It's crazy, but I don't know. I just feel like we're lucky in that sense that we have a good, you know, foundation. And I'm glad I met you, and now we have this awesome friendship that we've built.
I'm gonna talk shit about you later, but for now.
Oh, yeah. Well, please do, because that's where the whole pity thing comes in, and then I get more fans that way.
I'm the perfection.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to vomit after saying.
We have this figured out, obviously. So
we do, yes.
All right, so now this is something that a lot of people out here, when they do find out that I'm friends with you, which obviously I don't tell people. Because then the attention, yeah, because then the attention goes away from me and it's just like, oh, you're friends with Jessica Kleinschmidt. And I'm like, no, I don't really know her that well. It's fine. Don't ask me for her autograph.
As you pull up to my driveway.
I'm like, I gotta go. But people do ask about Joey Votto. And
okay.
I've never really asked, to be honest, we've never, like, I see you write about it.
I mean, it's not to define our friendship. That's why.
I didn't want to say it, but I don't care. But
exactly.
A lot of people, everybody cares. Does. Yeah. So I got to hear what the origin story is of behind your love for Joey Votto.
Well, I'm glad I'm finally on this podcast so I could just out and say it because we're close. So I can be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't have a crush on him. I don't want to sleep with him. I don't want to marry him. None of these things.
Okay.
I think he's just genuinely a cool dude. And he's just kind of my hero in certain ways. Like how he's quirky and weird. And I really found that out when I was working for Cut 4. Because, you know, growing up I knew him as a player. Mm-hmm. But to see him open up to the media when he hates the media was really cool. And just be, you know, like I said, awkward. And not really awkward, but finally growing up and being outgoing and all this other stuff. And then to see him just have a soul was really cool. And
So when you saw that he had a soul, you were like, oh, cool.
That's cool.
Okay.
I know that. That's awesome.
It's not a high bar or anything for a hero.
I mean, you know how athletes can be. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
True. Yes. Fair enough.
I had to cover this video of him talking about hitting. Mm-hmm. And I'm a former athlete, and I was so not easily coachable because I just did my own thing.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. You were what my golf pro would call mentally resistant. That's what he calls me, so I feel you.
Yeah. So basically, they would tell me to keep my head down and I would look up. I was so poorly, I cannot be coached. And to listen to him talk about hitting, I actually stopped and listened to what he was saying.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay. So he's the perfect combination of a guy you can look up to. Girls are allowed to look up to people, members of the opposite sex, you guys.
Yes.
Okay. So he was weird. He was quirky and fun and super knowledgeable about the sport, which I don't want people to be like, well, duh. But, if you listen to him talk, you genuinely want to go out there and hit the batting cages. It was really cool. And you know what? He said, I don't care if you play softball. And somebody even asked, I think it was Eric Burns who was with him. He's like, well, hey, my daughter wants to play too. And he goes, it's no different. And he, you know, he's very cool about that. So that is why I'm obsessed with Joey Votto and certain moments that he had with this young kid who passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And, was his biggest fan. He went to the, funeral and didn't want any attention on him. He just wanted to make sure that kid, was remembered and just stuff like that. Like just really branching out. And I've been in this industry and around athletes my entire life, and he's so different and so unique. So the rumors can stop. Like, there's so many. Like, oh my gosh, it's rumors. I mean,
what I do see a lot of it on Twitter, and I'm just like, what is this?
Yeah, like, people are stupid because, you know, women aren't allowed to. If a woman is impressed by a guy,
mm-hmm. it means because, she likes him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So get the hell over yourself. It's
not how it goes. I have definitely been impressed by many men and not wanted to sleep with them. So. I mean, my dad, for one, so I don't really know.
Look at Emily.
I feel like that kind of, like, blows that stereotype up real quick.
Definitely does. Quick.
Real quick. So that's the, you heard it here, probably not first, but you heard it here most recently right now that, you know, she admires Joey Votto as a human being and as an athlete, and he actually got her to listen to him, which most of us can't do, so... Congratulations, Joey Votto. You've done something I could never do. And now I admire you. And maybe I'm going to start listening. I wonder if Joey Votto would teach us how to play golf. Because that's the only way I'm going to learn now.
Yeah, because he would definitely be calling us mentally resistant. Yeah. That's for sure.
My golf pro said that to me and I was like, okay. I don't, like, I walked off the driving range. I was like, no. You don't get to say that to me and be super accurate and then, like, mess my day up. Like, how dare you?
How dare you tell me like it is?
How dare you tell me the truth after knowing me for, like, 15 minutes? So I was over that. That was nonsense. All right, so I'm going to ask you a few questions that are, like, you know, like, questions if you were on a dating show, I guess.
Okay. Okay.
And they're not just going to be about dating. I'm also making them up right now, so enjoy that. So the first one is, what is your absolute favorite baseball statistic? Like the one that you like the most?
It depends. If it's a power hitter, I love ISO.
Okay.
And it's more of like a power. It kind of basically combines all the power stats into one. And probably... I like to look at pitchers' ground ball percentages, how often, like if they're a ground ball pitcher or not.
Okay, speaking of power, what is the biggest power move a guy could pull out on a date, on a first date?
A first date? Yeah. Oh, the most recent one was...
Don't even. Oh, my God.
Well, not the most recent one, one of the most recent ones. This is going to sound weird, so... I think I want to say 4 hours into the day, I really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, what's the first thing you watch when you wake up? And I was like, oh, you know, I watch MLB Network. And he named the SportsCenter show. And I was like, wait, you're into sports? Like you didn't talk about it the entire time. He's like, well, I'm sure you get asked about sports all the time. I don't want to be one of those guys.
Wow. Like, so he actively avoided sports.
Yeah, which sounds weird.
That's impressive.
So we're planning our wedding for, like, the fall, I'm thinking?
No, you're going to want to do it in the summer in the Bay Area, obviously, so...
Well, I don't want to interrupt baseball schedules.
Well, okay, that's fair. Mm-hmm. All-star break? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, then you could get a lot of attention because there's only that one event. And
ooh,
then, you know, we could be more focused on your wedding because I know that's going to be... That'll be a thing. Okay, so then my next question would be, what kind? Okay, when you're going on your, this doesn't have to be first. This could be second, third, fourth date, whatever.
What's a second date? What is that?
It's this thing that comes when you talk to a guy again.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Go on.
Yeah. I know it's weird, but sometimes you talk to them after you see them. And then they take you to eat, and then what kind of food would you want them to take? Like, without you having a say. Yeah.
What do you mean, without me having a say? Like no?
Yeah, like, what would be the most impressive, like, meal a guy would take you out to without him having to have asked you? Do you know what I mean?
If we just showed up to, like, a good sushi place, I'd be down.
Okay.
Or, like a really nice brewery, too. Like, you know, like, the nice breweries, like, brew houses that, could go, that, you know, they're nice brew houses, but, like, they're...
Like a gastropub, man.
Like a gastropub. Like, Lord. They're known for, like, the burgers, but they're not, like, oh, it's a burger. It's like, man, this is a sneaky good burger. And it was like
so you will eat a burger in front of a guy, even though it's, like, I'm not saying I won't eat it because it's a burger, but it's super messy and that won't get all over you?
Okay, so I don't care about the burger, it's the wings. It takes me a while for me to eat wings
in front of a guy.
Only because you know how much I love chicken wings.
Yes.
And that's it's a tie between that's a very personal thing for me and like they're messy. I'll be honest. It takes me a while for me to eat that in front of a guy.
That's okay. That's good. That's you know, that's a good sign if you do that then.
Yeah, so that's why a lot of people that see this podcast probably haven't seen me eat wings.
I've never seen you eat wings.
There you go.
What? That's terrible.
We also, I'm not craving that after a night of going.
No. Out. You've seen me
we get our Noah's bagels after.
That's true. That's the clutch next day food is Noah's bagels. Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay, what about, which is your favorite ballpark? How many ballparks have you been to?
Or four.
Oh, okay, where do you really want to go then? Which is one you want to hit?
Fenway.
That's a good pull. Okay, second one that you want to hit.
I heard it was like more about the experience. Yeah. Which to me, money can't buy that.
Yeah. That's true. That's fair. Did you see I think it was the Baltimore, or no, it was Minnesota or Milwaukee. Somebody released those cheaper concession prices.
I wrote about it.
Oh, that's what I read. It was your article.
Yeah.
Oh, this is awkward.
Well, because I started a new blog just so I could write about stuff that I couldn't write about in the Bay Area.
Okay, I followed you on there. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so.
This is great because you guys are actually hearing like a live conversation between us.
My best friend doesn't know what I'm up to.
Yeah, I followed it and then I read it and then.
Did you see what you wrote, Jess?
Yeah, do you know? Can you explain to me these sentences? Okay, so the twins, right? The twins.
Yes.
Okay. So what, you wrote about it, like,
uh-huh.
but the thing is, I read it, and then it's only, like, two stands, and then.
Yeah, people need to calm the fuck down. Okay, so here's the thing. They're not going to just up and be like, everything is going to be this cheap.
Yeah.
First of all, I think this is either an experiment to see how it does.
Yeah.
But do you really think they're going to be that stupid? Like, they need to make money. They want to be family friendly.
Right.
But, like, they still need to make money.
Right.
That's not how this works, guys. So if it's two lines and you're upset, like, go pay the extra few bucks at a state. Like, it just, people need to calm down. And, you know, you're never going to make everybody happy.
No.
I've noticed, like, people were just complaining about it so much.
Well, it's funny because Allie was really excited. And she was, like, she tweeted out and she's, like, all for it. And then someone, like, burst the bubble and was, like, oh, it's only 12-ounce beers and it's only two places. And she goes,
yeah.
She's, like, I don't care. I'm still with it. And I was, like,
it's still such a good
thing. It is.
Like, yeah, so people need to chill and stop being assholes.
I agree. I that's why I personally like to go to independent baseball games because everything's free, pretty much. It's not, but it's cheap.
Well, do you really think I got this job because I like it's rewarding? No, I get food in the press box.
I think you do at the A's though. Just fair warning.
I have to pay for it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure media.
Yeah. Trust me.
Okay. Well, I know the Giants, I don't know, I guess NBC may be different, but when I've covered as just like regular media, some of these places, they do make you pay like $8 for a media meal or something. I'd never seen that before in all of my sports covering, and I was just like, whoa. But like props, you know, make money where you can. It's a business. Exactly. I would charge.
That's a very easy thing to do. I think I went to a Raiders game and they weren't like checking. So.
Oh, there you go. You got it.
Yeah, but they also thought it was going to be the last Raiders game. So who knows?
Who does know? No one ever knows with the A's stuff. And we didn't talk about the A's ballpark and all that stuff, you know how mad I get. If they release any more of these GD renderings, I'm gonna lose my shit.
Yeah, we need to. That's a whole different podcast.
Yeah, we should just have one podcast all about
that.
Yeah. And actually that's what we can pull Ratto in for because I'm sure he hates it too.
Yeah,
you know,
because
he's on our level. He gets like how stupid some people are.
Yeah, oh boy does he.
Yeah. Oh Ray. Shout out Ray Ratto. He's gonna come on our podcast.
He doesn't know it yet.
No,
but he's gonna come on the podcast.
Yeah, he is, and eventually, and we need to rename it for when Ratto comes on something just like super, super like downer.
Yeah. We'll call it the podcast.
If you If we could just do that, that would be great. I think that would be perfect.
Just like the thumbs down and like the farting emoji.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time he tweets at me, somebody sends me a screenshot of our conversation and tells me how entertaining it is. And I'm just like, I'm glad, you know, people out there entertained by Rado, like, ribbing me.
Just being rude to you.
Teasing me to no end about not turning my heater on or whatever it is that I did. He thinks I drink a lot. And it's funny because... because I do, to a degree, but I definitely don't drink as much as he thinks I drink. And that's what's...
That's how I am, too. Like, people will send me gifs, like, on social media. Like, oh, is this Jessica? And it's a girl, like, downing a bottle of tequila. And I was like, I don't even do that. Like, what the heck? I mix it.
Yeah, I've never seen you take, like, a straight shot, so.
Right.
That's confirmed.
I do. I'm a lady.
You are. You're very much a lady. Well, thank you so much for just having a conversation with me tonight since we haven't caught up, so.
I know. I feel like we were just talking and.
Yeah.
It's being recorded.
Well, yeah, I recorded it all. So I have to let her know that legally. So that's me letting her know.
I have to let her know that legally.
Yeah, it's illegal. I looked it up. It's fine. I know you have to go and do your Bay Area thing.
Bay Area.
Yeah, because I'm going to go do my Peoria thing tonight.
Which is what?
Well,
like local bar.
Okay, don't say it like that. That was like disdainfully said, that local bar.
I'm going to my local bar. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, but mine isn't called Jack's. It's called Saddle Up. And
I'm sure Jack's is called Saddle Up.
People, probably.
they probably call it Saddle Up, and I'm the asshole who's calling it Jack's.
Your date's going to be thinking that, and you're going to be like, I'm a lady.
What is happening?
No, this place is cool. I do want to give them a quick shout out because they're right by my apartment. They have a mechanical bull. They have a pontoon boat. When you come out here, we're going to go. They have a pontoon boat in there that the DJ DJs out of, and it's country and pop, which you would love in the main floor.
Oh,
they have like elevated things you can dance on with poles. Like, not like that, but it's not weird. And then they have swings that you can sit on. And then in the other room is like the hip hop like room. And that's where a bunch of my girlfriends bartend back there. So I end up going back in there. And it's kind of like this Alice in Wonderland vibe. It's really cool. And it's literally only open Friday, Saturdays. And it's right next to my house. So I just pop on over and hang out. And, you know, it's cool. I go home alone and it's fine.
I like it.
Yeah. So you have fun. And I'll have fun. We're both going to have fun, and then we will reconvene at a later date for the post-game.
Yeah, I'm literally going to talk to you in like 4 seconds.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, thank you for coming on. Appreciate it, and you're obviously going to be on a lot more, and now you're an official Sideline Sass, you know. We popped you. Yeah, you're a Sideline Sass correspondent. There we go. You can add that to your title.
I will, just to add on top of everything else.
I really appreciate it. All right, I will talk to you soon. Okay, well, I hope that everyone enjoyed that interview. It was really more of a snippet, just a small peek inside Jessica and our friendship. That really, you know, sounds a lot like a catch-up session. But she's such an incredible person that has dealt with so much in this industry and just her life story. So I'm just grateful to have her in my life, and I'm glad that we could share, you know, some of her sage advice and how she handles things with y'all, because she continues to amaze me. Even people attacking her on Twitter or saying whatever, she just manages to navigate through it all. And that's something that I take from her, a strength that I try and translate into my life when I'm working in this crazy, crazy sports industry. So she's definitely a boss, killing it. And we both did have fun, you know, Saturday night. So it's like a long distance relationship. You know, she's in the Bay, I'm out here in Illinois, but we make it work. You know, we use the telephone, we FaceTime. She's a big fan of FaceTime, so we often do that. But, I'm so glad that she shared, you know, why she likes Joey Votto so much, because now I'm a fan. Like, I'm definitely mentally resistant, so I need to check into this, like, mentality he has to see if I can get behind it and
maybe unblock some of these mental blocks I have. I got to see if he could be the coach that I need. We got to get him out to play golf sometime in Pebble. That would be incredible. But I hope you guys enjoyed this kind of new version of the podcast. It's going to be like this for a little while. I'm going to try and keep it interesting with some of our favorite guests. We are definitely going to do one with Jess and Ray Ratto and I. That's going to be something you don't want to miss coming up probably after the basketball tournament. The next podcast is going to be basketball based. We'll be checking in probably with Jerry Palm, a Sideline Sass favorite from whatever regional he's covering. Maybe have Pat Forty or our usual guys and maybe, you know, try and have a couple coaches on to talk about what this time of year is like for a college basketball team. And see what we can do there. So I hope you'll stay with me on this journey. I'm always going to try and keep it interesting. I'm always going to keep it sassy. And we'll definitely have some Bay Area names that you recognize coming on and joining the podcast as we navigate through these solo months into the baseball season. And definitely stay tuned because this is going to be interesting. You know, if you know me and my life at all, you know how crazy it is. If you read my column, you saw the kind of stuff we get into on trips. This is a whole new adventure, working for a minor league team, you know, helping run their social media. We're going to be doing a lot of fun stuff. So you're definitely going to want to follow the Peoria Chiefs on Twitter and Instagram, as well as Sideline Sass on Twitter and Instagram, and in my own at MLNEM. And if you want to follow Jessica Kleinschmidt on Twitter, you definitely should, because her Twitter is one of my favorite things. She's always saying exactly what I'm thinking, and it's nice to know I'm not the only crazy one out there. But we're going to, you know, do a ton of giveaways, a ton of interviews with minor leaguers. And who knows? You never know who's going to be down here rehabbing and whatnot. I'm going to be traveling with the team on certain occasions and bringing you stories from the road. So please stick with us. Please hit subscribe on iTunes and go ahead and leave a review and let me know how I'm doing. And yeah, so I'll talk to you next time. And until then, make sure you stay sassy.